Acts chapter 27. I suppose every pastor that actually puts a title to a message struggles with the title, and you try to get one that is appropriate. And I'm trusting that this title that I put to this message is instructive and appropriate. I entitled it, "You Can Be Saved Anyway." It'll make sense, we hope, as we put it together. There's a historical record of Paul on his journey from Caesarea going to Rome, and the truth is it really runs as an allegory, and it's interesting to see some things that he is confronted with and that he has to deal with, and yet when it comes down to the end, there's always a good ending to this matter of trusting Jesus Christ, and we'll deal with that as we get to it. Acts chapter 27, I'd like to read the first 13 verses. I wish we had time to read all of the chapter, because it is of interest, actually, this chapter and even into the next chapter. But we'll try to reach into the other areas of these two chapters and pick up a verse and a thought that we need to supplement what we read here in this message today. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Trust you'll bless every heart, meet the need in every life. I do pray that you'll enable me to read the word and preach the message like it ought to be preached. Jesus Christ be lifted up and glorified. For I pray in that precious name that is above every name. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Verse 1, Acts 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band, entered into a ship of Andromedium. We launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul, and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. When we had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us thereon. When we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmona, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul, because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, lies toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loose thence, they sailed close by Crete. Then you'll notice that, but not long. And it wasn't long till there was a storm that raged in their lives. But I want to deal with the subject today. This is an interesting passage here in chapter 27 and on into chapter 28. We see Paul as, now keeping in mind he had been imprisoned for a number of years. We often think today, and we read oftentimes in the paper of a person that was tried and convicted, and they are released on a technicality, which means there might be a date misplaced or a word misspelled. How'd you like to be cast into prison without any opportunity of real defense that could turn you loose? And he was kept in prison, and during that time, of course, without charges. And even when he was sent to Rome, they, after the fact, tried to put together a list of charges against Paul. And the great problem was that they didn't have any charges. Therefore, it was difficult to send him to Caesar's judgment seat and not have charges laid against the man. Among those that heard his testimony was Agrippa. And Agrippa, remember, is the one who said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I wish you were not almost, but altogether, such as I am, except these bonds." And when you look into that context, you'll find out that what he's saying is, "I wish you was a Christian like me. I don't wish the bonds on you, but I wish everything else that I have was yours." And if I could express a desire for this congregation today, it would be that you could trust Christ, be saved as I am saved by the grace of God. Now, fortunately, I'm not in bonds today. I've not been bound, not been imprisoned unjustly. And certainly, I would have to be appreciative of all that God has done for me. Now, Agrippa said this of Paul after he has given his testimony. This man might have been set at liberty if he hadn't appealed to Caesar and to Caesar's judgment seat. But having appealed there, then nobody could release him from that, and he had every right as a Roman citizen to make that appearance, and he would make that appearance. So Paul was sent to Rome and to deal with the issue and the charges that were laid against him. And in these chapters that are before us, we have the story of this trip and the events that occurred, and a number of things did happen. I'll only draw on a few of them this morning as we put together this message. But I do want to put it in some type of an outline so that you can get the picture this morning. Paul made known their need of salvation. Now, he's talking about sometimes a physical salvation, but also he makes the inference that as a servant of God, they need spiritual salvation. They need eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. And so I want to share just a few things with you here that would indicate what I have just said, that they are aware of the fact of the need of salvation because Paul has made it known. Now, Paul mentions in our text that sailing is now dangerous. We live in a day where the ships are more stable maybe than they were in historical times. One of the things that really surprised me was Several years ago, they had the replicas of the three ships that Columbus sailed in, anchored down here in Corpus. And I went down to Corpus and saw those ships. And the truth is, it was difficult to call them a ship. They're about the size of some folks' rowboat. Now, they're a little larger than that, but they were not large ships like we'd think of in terms of the ships today. And they would have been dangerous times for such a ship, such a vessel to sail in a stormy weather. So the Bible tells us here that sailing is now dangerous, which indicated the time of the year, that it was just not wise to be out in a small craft, sailing even in the Mediterranean and in that region there with the various seas that branched off of it. The truth is that not only was sailing very difficult, but they left a place where they could have wintered. In other words, they could have been in not as much comfort as they'd like, but they could have been in a place that would have been safe. At least they'd have been on land. Now, I have some opinions, and that's what they are. There are folks that'll get up in an airplane and jump out of a good airplane. Not going to happen to this preacher. It's going to take several to drag me out of that plane if I think it'll get to the ground. So I try not to tempt fate. Try not to put myself in a dangerous place. I do that enough out of stupidity without doing it deliberately. And have through the years done some very foolish things, and God has preserved me anyway. But they left a place to winter. They just said it wasn't commodious. In other words, it just didn't suit their taste. You can't have a taste too high. You can expect too much out of life. You could live in a log cabin if you had to. And some are living in homes that are far more than log cabins. Most of us are. But we can live with a lot less than we think we can. But they felt like it wasn't an appropriate place to spend the winter, so they went on their way. Now, Paul warned as he went that this trip involved danger and hurt. Danger and hurt. Did you know that life is like that? It involves a lot of circumstances that are going to be dangerous. And especially from a spiritual standpoint, if we die without Jesus Christ, it's hurtful. There's eternal loss. So we see then that the indication of their need of salvation comes from the fact that it's just not the time that they ought to be sailing. It's dangerous. Then the centurion made a tremendously great mistake. In verse 11, we're told, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Now, Paul is speaking the word of God. He's giving testimony of God's saving grace and a spiritual need in the life of the folks. And yet the Bible said that this man, having heard two different stories, he believed the word of man and the owners of the ship more than he believed what Paul had to say. If I could say this so that I would not be misunderstood today, the preacher needs to be listened to. What he has to say is of eternal consequence. Jesus Christ said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, my word shall not pass away." And if a preacher is worth his salt, he's preaching the word of God today. Therefore, he is worth a moment of time to listen and to evaluate what he has to say. And yet, here's this centurion, this Roman soldier, who will listen to the testimony of men over the testimony of God's man and the very testimony of God. In verse 12, this man, after making the choices that he did, he preferred creature comfort over safety. Now, you need to look at safety in this particular case. And I'm going to tell you there's something worth spending a lifetime in pursuit of. I often mention a man that wrote a book entitled In Pursuit of God. I've been asked at various times from a pastor's standpoint what I think is important. And what should a person do with their lives? And I always point out to them that they need to find Jesus Christ if it takes a lifetime. There was a young man that attended this church years ago. He came under conviction. But he was one of these folks that could never just nail it down and settle it, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he was always troubled. And he asked me one time, said, "What would you recommend that I do?" I said, "I recommend that every time the doors are open, you be under the ministry of the Word of God. Whether it's in the Sunday school, in the morning service, the evening service, prayer meeting time, whatever it is, that you be under the ministry of the Word of God. Because regardless of how much time you spend, it's worthwhile to come to know Jesus Christ and to find the truth and to settle it in your heart." And later on, he was saved by the grace of God, and I appreciate you for that. It was not my privilege to lead him to Christ, but another did, and I'm thankful for that. But this centurion believed the testimony of men. They said, "I'll go ahead and sail." Paul said, "Don't sail." But they preferred creature comforts to safety. And they thought that they could make it. Great mistake. A lot of folks I've talked with in my life, they would finally come down to the end of the discussion and say, "But I believe I can make it." Well, you can make it. You can make it to hell without Jesus Christ. You can make it to heaven with Jesus Christ. And I recommend that you give yourself in pursuit of God, regardless of how long it takes, because that's what's really important. The centurion, along with the rest, they exhausted every avenue. Once this thing started and it was set in motion, they did everything within their power. They undergirded the ship. They emptied everything that they could into the sea to lighten the vessel. To make it trustworthy in the sea. And a lot of those ideas today and terms today would not be meaningful to us, except we understand what they mean from a historical standpoint. When we talk about undergirding the ship, we're talking about literally binding it together to keep it from separating in a storm. It would seem very strange to us for a man to take a tarp and go under a ship and pull it around it and try to seal off a hole in a ship today. But they did it in that day. So they exhausted every avenue that they had to try to bring that vessel to land and to land safely. As we look into this text, they met with a dilemma. There was a storm, unplanned, and of course in that day unreported. The only difficulty you'll find with the weather reporting today is that they miss it quite a bit. But they can do the reporting. We've got the media where we can report the situation around the world. We've got a tropical storm brewing down in the Gulf region today. And they plotted every course in the world for it to hit land. And no telling where it'll come out. But as it gets closer to land, it'll become more obvious. And folks can be warned today when they would not have received warning in the days of the Apostle Paul, because they wouldn't even known the storm was there until it was down upon them. But there was a storm, and this is the dilemma that they have. It was a fierce storm. And they emptied the ship again and tried to maintain it afloat. Paul had made known what would happen in verse 22 of our text, or from this chapter in the immediate text around it. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. What he's saying is, this ship is done for, but your life will be saved. Something hit my mouth there, and I was trying to swallow that or something. There was a storm, and it was fierce. They emptied the ship. And Paul then told them, there is an avenue here. You can be saved. Deliverance was declared in this particular context. All that accompanied Paul would be saved. Their lives would be saved. They themselves, even though the ship would be lost. Paul had believed the warning. Then God's angel had come to him and explained to him how it was going to play out. And informed him that those that were inside the ship, and that's the key to understanding this text today, would be saved. Now, the idea is that God's not through with Paul. The unsaved folks, that's a different story. They have no covenant promise. They have no hope in this world except God in His marvelous grace intervening in their lives. But God is not through with the Apostle Paul. He's been told that he'll be a witness in Rome also. The time's coming and he's going to be in Rome. And Paul brought him some good news. The good news is that there is a way. Even in the face of the storm, in the midst of this tremendous storm, yet Paul said, if you just stay in the ship, you can be saved. And there were some sailors there that had decided that they'd slip away. They were going to let a boat down over the side and get in the boat and row to land and let the ship just do as it could. But Paul said, now, you need to tell these fellows that if they don't abide in the ship, they'll not be saved. This is where the safety is in the ship. Well, I don't have to run the parallel very far to see it. That only those in Jesus Christ are saved. and save. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no safety. There is no security. And there is really no hope. Except God intervened. And I'll deal with that in just a moment. But there is a way. And all in the way are safe. And I want you to know this morning that salvation cannot be found anywhere else but in the place that God has designed. And God has designed Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. These men were wise enough now that they cut loose the boat and let it drop off of the ship, and they stayed in the place of safety and security. They abandoned all other hope. And the hope for the soul today that is desperate is to abandon all other hope and come to Jesus Christ. I want to close with a thought this morning that brings us back to the title. You can be saved anyway. Verse 44. After this ship has been run aground, the front of it is stuck in a certain place, and because of the storm against the rear of the ship, it's broken to pieces. And everybody had to get to land as best they could. Some of them of broken pieces of the vessel, other means of safety today, they would try to get a hold of something that would keep them afloat till they got to the land. And the rest, in verse 44, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. What I want you to see with this closing statement this morning is that this group of sailors had heard Paul warn them that there was danger. He had foretold them that there would be a loss of the ship. He had done everything within his means and power to convince them to trust Jesus Christ, if you please, and trust God to deliver them to land. But they ignored all warning up until this moment. But they're saved anyway. They're saved anyway. You may have gone through your life this morning. You might have been young, as David said, and now I'm old. But he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread in the context. But I just want the thought of you may have grown old. You may have ignored every sign that was given you, every word that was given you. But you can be saved anyway if you'll just get in the ship and stay in the ship. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You can be saved anyway. And in our text, the Bible said they escaped all safe to land. Now outside the ship, there was no hope. But inside the ship, there's hope. It makes no difference if you spent your life in denial and refusal. You can still be saved. You may have missed some times whenever you felt the tugging of God's Holy Spirit in the heart and in the soul. And you walked out of a service much like this today and were saying, no, not now. Can be saved. You might be here and young. I would encourage you to trust Christ young. Don't spend a lifetime refusing and denying, and then have to